on page 6, mm-hmm. number 17. Would you explain that to me, please?
As soon as I find
it. Where did that come from?
Page 6,
and what does it
number
mean?
17. I got so many papers here on my
it's
desk.
It's the last paragraph of the bill.
That's Medicaid.
But you, in your remarks, when you're talking with Senator from the 14th, you said something about...
They have a waiver.
What does that mean?
Where they can go to the federal government and they can get a waiver for X number of people and put them on there and stuff that's not covered. You know, we have the Sarah Lopez waiver for things that are not covered through our basic Medicaid program where we cover this, this, and this. You know, you could have a, we don't cover dental. You could have a dental waiver if you wanted to cover X number of individuals. So there are people being served through the waiver, but it's not inside the entire Medicaid program. MoHealthNet program, sorry.
Well, I have a real problem with saying we're not going to serve the, our children, basically, our children, the ones we are responsible for through MoHealthNet with this. That makes it look like we're happy for everybody else to provide it for their children, but our children we're not going to do it for.
Well, actually, they have said the argument could be flipped because currently we're not providing it to the individuals that pay insurance premiums, but there are those that are getting it through MoHealthNet through the waiver program. So right now, this bill would actually, kind of create a much more level playing field. So that everybody is, there's slots in every four corners of that stool I mentioned.
But I'm hearing you. But this bill aims to provide it for everybody who has insurance. And the senator from the 14th spoke about those who don't, and that's a real concern. But we are providing insurance for a group of children, and on the face of it, this bill says. It will not apply.
Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we passed out of here last year, but it didn't specifically say it. So there, for no ambiguity reasons, we just specifically clarified it. But it was the same thing we had passed out last time.
Well, I think that must have missed my eyes last time, and I'm real concerned. Do you have any problem with me proposing an amendment to take that out so we don't have that?
Yeah, I would have a problem with that.
Well, then, Senator, explain to me why we would put in law, on the face of it, we are not going to provide this for the children that are ours, that are our concern for health care, that we provide health care for. I'm appalled that we would not ensure that the poor children, the children of the working poor families in Missouri, don't get this.
Well,
except under some bureaucratic blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think
that one understands, and no one, and what is your problem with those children getting the same opportunity that your children or the senator, any other senator who has children that had this problem? What's the problem with not putting in law that we're not going to do it for the children that we're responsible for with health care?
Well, that would be on its face Medicaid expansion, and I think that currently that population has opportunities to get treatment and services that the individuals that are paying their insurance premiums don't have. So at this point, the focus is on making sure that there's the four legs of the stool where this already has a piece. So that's what the intent of the bill is to provide those that are paying the premiums the opportunity to have what this population has access to that they don't. So
are you telling me that every child under the MoHealthNet program is getting this already?
No. But okay. I say they have opportunity to get services through the waiver.
Senator, I just disagree with our putting in law that this doesn't apply to the children that we're responsible for. So okay. I really would hope you'd support my amendment and we take this out, and then if I could be convinced that every child who needs it under MoHealthNet gets it, then I'll work with you later. But let's, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President?
Senator from the 24th.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It is short.
Madam Secretary, when the amendment arrives, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Bray, to amend Senate Bill 618, page 6, section 376.1224, line 171 through 176, by striking said lines.
Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move adoption of the amendment. As I said with the senator from the 2nd, I think it's unconscionable that we put in law that we do not ensure that the children that are responsible under our care for health care through the MoHealthNet program do not have access to this program. So I'd like not to see this in law that we put that explicit language. And if I can get 5 standing, I'd like a roll call.
The senator from the 2nd has, excuse me, from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. She has asked for a roll call. We need 5 members standing. 1, 2, 4, 5, 4.
Senator.
Okay. Okay. There are 5 members standing. You will have a roll call,
Thank
Senator.
You.
Does any senator from the 1st? Was the first senator to be recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Senator President. Could I inquire of the senator from the 24th?
Senator 24th, do you yield? She does proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Senator, the current fiscal note on this bill is just over $11 million. If your amendment went onto the bill, do you have any idea what the fiscal note would be?
I do not have that. I don't.
So you don't have a fiscal note on what your amendment
would
do in this
bill? No, I don't.
Because
okay. I read the bill this morning and saw that we were excluding the children that are in our care.
Okay. Both of us serving on the Appropriations Committee and staring up currently, you know, close to $1 billion shortfall in this year's budget. I mean, this is an important bill, I think, to this body, and it certainly was last year when it was before this body. You're not concerned that this amendment, based on our budget situation in this state, would be a deal breaker?
I don't know about a deal breaker. I would think not. But Senator, I think any services for these children would be a minuscule percentage of whatever we're spending now. And Senator, I would have a very hard time looking anybody in the eye and said, "Oh yes, we were passionate about everybody else having insurance for this, but we ourselves wouldn't do it for our own children, for the children in our care, the children of the working poor people in this state." I can't look somebody in the eye and say, "You know what? They don't matter. They don't matter in this therapy that's critical to development of young children." You know, everybody else's children matter, but the ones under our care, they don't matter, because they're the children of the working poor. Senator, I can't look anybody in the eye and say that. So
Senator, where would we cut in our budget? Will we cut from K-12 education so that we make sure that these benefits are available for children that are receiving welfare services from the state? I'm just curious where we find this money.
Well, I have a few ideas of places I would find it, so we can talk about that later.
All right.
Once we know exactly how much it is. There's people getting you know, largesse from the state who are doing fine otherwise, so I think we can find it.
Okay. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from the 15th.
Senator 15th, do you yield?
I do.
Does? Proceed.
I do.
Thank you. First, Senator, I thought I'd let the senator from St. Charles get a little bit of a break from the inquiries. Go to you. But I want you to know how much I appreciate you all work on this. And Senator from St. Charles and yours, and I know you have a personal interest. I want to cover several things here. One, I don't know if this last amendment was an insurance industry, the evil insurance industry's amendment or whatever, but it is a bill killer, as you may be aware. I'll probably end up letting everybody vote the happy vote and then kill the bill. But it will. It's you don't think it's from the insurance industry?
I don't know.
Plot.
I don't know. The senator from the 24th just, presented this on the floor. I would think that there would have been a conversation before that, considering the importance of this legislation. That's certainly a courtesy I would have extended.
Well, let me talk. First, I want to thank you for last year. There's a couple concerns I have. Last year, you know, I voted for this, and obviously I want this bill to go forward. I said I wanted it to go forward. I wouldn't even have brought it up if I didn't want this to go forward. One, and I know the senators explained the reason from going from 55 to 72. And I hadn't talked to anybody from the insurance industry before yesterday when I requested some information on possible costs. The senator just alluded to it, where Missouri Consolidated Health says it will be about $11 million cost, which is big. The insurance industry always gets painted as evil, and I voted for this last year, and I think we should have coverage here. But I think they made a tactical mistake last year. I know when they first came in here and you talked about it last year, you said, well, we're going to put it at 55. The House will put it someplace here, and we'll be down to about 30-something thousand, which, I talked to several people in my area that have this therapy done and pay for it, and they're in the 40-plus area. And so that would have caused a burden on them if it was that low. Now we've moved it up 17,000 for a negotiating tool. That always scares me a little bit, because if something happens and they just approve our version, then it's not a negotiating tool. And I know we've got your assurances that will be not be the case.
Well, Senator, you and I have had a discussion. I quite frankly don't. I like to bid against myself when the other side, you know, as a lawyer, if the other side is not acting in good faith, I wouldn't be a good negotiator if I were doing that. So, quite frankly, if you're asking me philosophically, we don't have a cap on a lot of other important treatments. I'm sure that if someone's spouse were dying of cancer and we had a cap and we said, oh, sorry, the chemo has to stop, people would be up in arms. So actually, philosophically, I'm not sure you need a cap, and I'm not sure we need an age cap.
But in physical therapies, though, we do have caps, and if we have caps on something that is a physical problem, we do have caps on that. Treating for a disease that's being treated,
but you may be right,
but we do have how many visits are allowed for all those type of therapies.
The difference between 55 and 72 and the number of people who actually utilize the difference is minuscule. And in fact, in South Carolina, I think the senator from second brought this up, the estimate of what it would cost the state to cover their folks was, I believe it was around $9 million was the fiscal note. And in their first year, the total, the amount of the claims was $800,000. So in my view, the fiscal note attached is greatly exaggerated. But
I don't know that because if you talk about use your own statistics on how many 1 in 52 have it are going to be diagnosed, and the fact that the more that we publicize it, the more therapy that's available, I think it's probably more on the low end, which is okay. I mean, I voted for it, and I'm prepared, but there is going to be a huge cost. As the senator pointed out, there is going to be a big cost, and it will have to come from someplace. But I rise in your question on this. Have you looked at anything dealing with this amendment? What would this bring the cost of the bill?
I have no idea. I'm sure that...
bigger than a bread box, or...?
I don't know. I don't think the senator from the 24th knows, which is why I think it's a little...
So we're going to vote on this not knowing what cost is and just hoping for the best.
Right, and I think what's important to remember is that there's probably a lot of things, and that the senator from the 14th mentioned this, I'm sure there's a lot of things that people would probably want to have attached to this bill.
Well, you know, that's what my point is. You're going to get a Christmas tree here that will die under its own love. The love of your bill.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think if that happens, there'll be a lot of things that probably die this year, though, Senator. So
you're prepared to let yours die under the love?
No.
No. Well, I've only been here a few more years than you, but I can smell something that's starting to...
Well, I think
if people
are, you know, if people are stoking that, maybe. And I hope that's not what we're doing here on the floor. But
no, I hope not, too. And that's what I'm saying. I think we've got something that's viable that can be done. But we're on the edge of risking it being loved to death.
And, yeah, I think if we have that
would be a shame to have something that we led with last year. And we're finally dragging the House kicking and screaming to the same conclusion, and hopefully we'll be able to work something out.
Well, I don't think it, let me respond. I don't think we're kicking and screaming, actually.
No, I'm talking about the House.
The Speaker of the House has indicated that this is the first bill that they'll vote on. Right. I've been encouraged by all those comments. In fact, I am excited that this is going to be
a bill.
Well,
that's why I think it was a miscalculation by the insurance industry last year when they stonewalled and wouldn't deal with the eventual where we were figuring $35,000 to $40,000. Now they're having to come back in, and the PR nightmare that happened over the summer and the fall, they're going to have to live with now and figure out where that is. And I just want to make sure the pendulum swings to a proper point.
Right. Well, I think we've indicated a willingness to work on that and be reasonable, but I think it's also important to point out, to bring us back to center here, the only thing different between this bill and the bill that we passed 29-2 last year is we have that cap, which is a little higher, which we've articulated the reasons for it.
Yeah. And you got that small business.
And this year we actually have a small business.
I agree,
exemption.
And I appreciate that very much.
So those are the only two differences.
Well, I rise because, like I said, I get the feeling, we'll all vote on it. We'll all be for it. And we'll come up to vote even if this amendment passes, and we'll all be for it. And it will never see the light of day. But we'll all feel good about it. We can go home and tell everybody we voted for it. Yeah. I tried to get it done. I voted for it. You can look at my voting record. I voted for it. That's the way things are done in this. But I voted for it. My fingerprints aren't on killing it. And I'm going to tell you, if it gets too heavy under the burden, it will die. And I don't want that to happen to your
bill.
Well,
I appreciate your leadership.
You have a vested interest, I know, but a lot of people in this state have an interest. They expressed that this past fall and this summer as they came out. And I just want to make sure that we don't do something that's going to sound good here on the floor and then die.
I agree with you. Thank you for your leadership and having this first up.
Senator from the 14th.
Prior to Senator from the 15th, please.
Senator 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Senator. Senator, I know that I am not the darling of the insurance industry. I don't think the Senator from the 24th is either. But I wanted to ask you, I guess, a pretty straightforward question. Is it your position that only the folks who are privileged to have insurance can avail themselves of this therapy?
Not necessarily. No, no. I think the senator from the second has indicated there actually is a mechanism right now through the Medicaid waiver to obtain those services. There are plenty of working folks who don't make a lot of money who are have private health insurance. And so this is the best way for us in this environment to expand coverage as far as we can go.
So the children who are in our care, foster care, through other social services agencies, those children are covered by our insurance. Is that correct?
You're talking about Medicaid?
Any kind that we have, yes.
Yeah, on Medicaid, yes. That
would be. And those who are not on Medicaid, the working poor, because if you make so much money, you don't get Medicaid.
Right.
Is that correct? I just want to make sure that we understand what we're talking here. And I'm going to support this amendment because I truly believe that if these children are in our care, that they should have that. I do not think that this is a killer. I recognize what, the conversation is. But I'm looking at a class situation here. And I'm sensing that. And I don't want to sense that. I don't want to have a sense that, we're here to protect a certain class of children. And
right.
The other class of children will not get what they need, regardless if this will be helpful to them. Does that make sense?
I appreciate that, absolutely.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure that what we're looking at the same things here.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking this for insurance companies or whoever else and for that purpose. That's not what this is about. This is about making sure that each child who can benefit from this therapy, whether they are rich, whether their parents have insurance, whether they're on Medicaid, or whether they're part of the working poor, can have an opportunity at this therapy. So that's my perspective on this. So I want to make sure we don't kind of take this a little further than it actually is.
No,
it's simply a matter of equity. It's a matter of fairness. And so I'm asking you, that's not what you're intending, I hope, by those comments that you made.
No, I don't think you could glean them from my comments. I was simply making the point that we passed a bill out of here last year that is exactly like this bill with
right.
two differences. And, quite frankly, I didn't hear this objection last year. But now that we're talking about it, I just want to make clear that the bill that we passed overwhelmingly last year is identical to this, but for those two differences, and my hope is that we can do that again this year.
And I hope that we can move forward and do that, but I just want to make sure I'm clear. We talk about health care. We don't want everybody to have health care. That's the overall theme of this body. We do not want everybody to have health care, or we would make provisions for that. And so those who have get. They, those
Senator,
who have,
I think that is
have
a debate
the freedom,
worth having.
Wait a minute. Those who have the freedom to do that and move on and get what they need. But those who don't, and I just want to make sure that, you know, when it goes out, that this body is prepared to do that. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. So I just wanted to ask you I wanted to hear from you. What, you know?
Yeah, I think we need to have a constructive debate about how more people have access to health care. That debate, all of that, is not necessarily related directly to this bill. We're going to have
if we did have that, we wouldn't be having this discussion, because every opportunity would be afforded everybody. We wouldn't be in this discussion of picking and choosing. So, you know, and we have had opportunities to do that before you came, even in the House of Representatives. Several of us have proposed that so that everybody would have, and we wouldn't have to pick and choose. We wouldn't have to stand on this floor and say, you deserve a mammogram and you don't. You deserve a prostate cancer test and you don't. We wouldn't have to do that. So until we come to that point, this is kind of the way that we're going to have to do this. But I wanted to make sure again that we're not going to cherry pick, and those who have and those who don't have. So I appreciate the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Holy cow. I'm going to try. The senator from the 23rd was the first that I heard to be recognized. Senator from the 23rd, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from the 15th?
Senator 15th, do you yield? He does proceed.
Senator, this is an interesting discussion we're having this morning. I think it gives you a little, taste of some of the discussion at the federal level, to be able to have a discussion about what type of care that people should receive, devoid of any concept of the cost associated with that care. Unfortunately, we here at the state level are required to have a balanced budget, which means we have to make choices. And I know that people involved in or folks that would like to see this amendment pass would probably believe that Medicaid should also provide comprehensive eye care and comprehensive dental care and coverage for therapy services and extended eligibility. And we have to make some difficult decisions. And, you know, we don't know what the cost of this amendment is. You know, I was going to ask when we got to the underlying bill, I was going to inquire the senator the second. I want to let you know that I am very supportive of this legislation. I was very surprised that it didn't get done last year. And there'll be a question in this inquiry, Senator. I appreciate you hanging with me here. We've got to make some tough decisions, Senator, and that goes with this issue, and I think as it relates, this is the first policy bill as related to the state budget that we're dealing with this year. You had said that you thought that the fiscal note was wrong on this. Could you explain that?
Well, I think that based on South Carolina, when they had basically the majority of the cost comes from the Missouri Consolidated element that we voted on last year as well. But in South Carolina, there was, I believe the fiscal note for that to cover their 300,000 people, which we have fewer than that, in their system, the fiscal note was $9 million. And in the first year, now granted, there will probably be a pickup in year two because it's year one. But year one, there was, I think it was $800,000 in claims. So that is 1/9 of what the projected cost would be. And I think that you combine that with the evidence in the other states that have seen a less than 1% increase. In the face of all the misinformation that the insurance industry provides on that topic, which, by the way, there is zero evidence whatsoever. They can point to not a single shred of evidence that costs increased more than 1%. And also, that fiscal note here is based on every person getting $72,000 worth of therapy a year. So it just simply doesn't happen because, for example, most school districts, at least in St. Louis County, there's a lot of programs and therapies in the school. Now, that may not meet what should be had for that child during the course of a week, but they receive a fair portion of that, and then what's left over that the school can't handle, the ABA therapy that would be covered under this bill kicks in. So you never truly have all of these kids getting 40 hours of intense ABA therapy. It is an assumption that I suppose the accountants have to make in case everybody, nobody gets any therapies anywhere, and everybody that's eligible gets $72,000 worth of coverage. But that simply isn't the case. So that's why that number always falls well below what the fiscal note indicates.
Okay. So what do you think a fairer number would be? What if you were writing that fiscal note based on what you know?
I mean, if you use
South Carolina.
If you use South Carolina as an example.
We have, what, I think 100,000 state employees and retirees in Missouri Consolidated, and that's generating the fiscal note, right? Assumptions based on that population.
I wouldn't want to make that prediction, but if South Carolina has three times the number and that they were at 800,000, I mean, you could draw your own conclusion.
And you say their cost was $9 million, so let's say at 100,000, this is a real generalization, you think, or $3 million.
I don't know.
Okay.
I do think that the fiscal note...
If that is, you know, one side or the high end on what this will cost, I'm trying to get some expectation of, what's the low end and what's the number in between.
Yeah. I couldn't give you an accurate number.
There'll be a cost to the state. Let's use $3 million.
But again, let me also point out that there is a cost to the state. But as I indicated, there is a very reputable Harvard study that the societal impact of a child not treated gets upwards of $3.2 million. Those therapies that they don't receive early, they continue to need a shadow in the public school system, which, by the way, as taxpayers, we pay. They may need to be institutionalized at some
point,
or they have more expensive therapy down the road.
Well, that goes... Early intervention in a number of areas in state government, we've advocated that supporting First Steps and other programs, that the earlier that we can get with those kids and provide the therapy, give them the education, pays long-term dividends. And fiscal notes never really, you know, extrapolate that out. They don't go beyond the first step of saying, well, yeah, here's the cost, but they don't anticipate any kind of savings.
Right.
So that's a good point, something I hadn't thought of. I am concerned about the unknown fiscal note with this. I guess if you look at, we have a population of around 900,000 on Medicaid. If using, you know, it's South Carolina's numbers, and then we'd be talking about, was it $27 million?
But it's also important to point out that... which is why we might have been able to have this discussion before, but that there is a mechanism. There is no mechanism whatsoever right now for someone who has private health insurance, whether it's a small or large employer, to have access to these therapies. There is a mechanism through the Medicaid, for the waiver process, for those services to be had. It may not be the perfect solution, but it is an option right now. And so, again, I think the senator from the second and I hope would be that we pass a bill very similar to the one we passed out of here last year, and give it a go over in the House.
No, I support your efforts to do that, Senator. I'm trying to look, and as I look forward, and I would want you to do this with me also, that I think any time this year that we're talking about a bill, whatever bill, that's going to have a fiscal note, a cost to the state, when we're looking at in the Appropriations Committee, like a $200,000 cut to telehealth services, you know, and understanding what the impact of that is to services. I am trying to look at changes within Missouri Consolidated that will not detrimentally impact services, but, you know, look at how we can bend that cost curve, and I know that you're working and you're interested.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to belabor the point, but, and I wouldn't get into it when the senator from the 14th was inquiring of me, But as chairman of that 2020 committee, I have a very keen interest in bending that cost curve and providing more access to services that can ultimately defray those long-term costs. So to lump all that stuff and all of the issues that are going on in D.C. and everything else into this bill, quite frankly, is unfair and it's intellectually dishonest. So, but we can have that discussion. That's fine with me.
I mean, at some point we have to talk about what the cost is.
Sure. Yep, absolutely.
But I'm going to continue to think about this. I may inquire the senator from the second lane.
Thank you for the inquiry.
He's on the appropriation. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you rise?
Can I inquire of the senator from the 23rd, St. Charles?
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, good afternoon. I heard you bring up some questions about the cost that would be involved if we passed the senator from the 24th Amendment.
Yes.
I had a letter that I received from Missouri Consolidated Healthcare Plan that says that presently, the information was the Missouri Department of Social Services, Missouri HealthNet Division, reported to Consolidated that out of 518,041 Missouri children eligible for Missouri HealthNet, as of June of 2009, 4,359 were diagnosed with ASD. So, and I've done this.
How many, Senator?
4,359
okay.
were diagnosed. So, I mean, just taking simple math, if you took the maximum of 72,000, and let's say they all applied and all received the maximum amount of services a year, that comes out to an additional amount of money for the state of Missouri of $313 million and $848,000. So, I mean, you're talking about $313 million and additional obligations to the state of Missouri.
Wow. That is a huge number.
That is a huge number, and I don't want to get into the philosophical.
That's much bigger than the $27 million I was guessing.
Yeah. So it is a sizable amount, and, you know, I don't have to tell any member of this body the situation that our budget is in at this time, where we're roughly $1 billion short, actually over $1 billion short of what revenue was back in fiscal year 2008. And
That's why we get paid the big bucks, Senator, so that we can make these types of decisions.
Well, I know you sit on the Appropriations Committee, as well as myself and others, and the senator from the 24th, and you know what kind of financial shape the state of Missouri is.
I would love to be everything for everybody, but we don't have the money.
That's the bottom line.
And that's what I was trying to identify. Well, what is the real cost of this if Missouri Consolidates? Missouri Consolidated, if their assumption is too high, what's another number, or what that someone who's an advocate of this legislation who believes that they're, you know, or people not using the right thought process as they develop this, because I want to try to figure out a way to do this legislation in a way that is budget neutral. That's I think the way I need to approach my job on every bill we deal with this year. And if I have a bill that does that, I hope someone will stand up here on the floor and ask me what I'm doing. Because we talk about this year's going to be a tough year. And we talk about next
this
year being even
harder. This
year's
tough, but next year's going to be even more difficult.
You know, and I don't know. I don't have as much experience with the families that the senator from the 15th. But I can tell you from what I have seen, it's heart-wrenching. I'm an emotional person, and to express your love to your child and to not know whether it's being received, for your child to not express that love, I can tell you one of the greatest feelings I have is when I come home and I get a hug from my child, you know, and it is just, these are heart-wrenching stories.
Oh, they're difficult, and you know my character. It's not my nature to want to say no, but this year that's going to be the standard line.
You have a tremendously difficult job, Senator. I hope that we can get this resolved. I don't want to see this bill killed because of this amendment.
Yeah. The amendment.
But I know
as I said,
that there are 10 other things we can be doing for health care that also have a cost, much less than $300 million, that we're not doing right now that would help Missouri.
Yeah, that's over $300 million for the amendment that the senator from the 24th offered. And as you pointed out, Missouri Consolidated Health Plan has said that it would cost $11 million additional dollars to the state of Missouri to cover those children under that plan. So it's a bad situation, and appreciate the inquiry.
They had somebody they were paying a lobbyist to lobby the legislature. I'm on the Missouri Consolidated Board. And, you know, based on what's happening in the economy, this was like $40,000 a year. They were talking about should they do that at $40,000 or should, for like $65,000, should they hire an FTE, an additional state employee with fringe, and have that person be a liaison. And based on everything that's happening, I thought, not only should you not be hiring somebody, but you should not have a part-time lobbyist. I mean, we need to look at every position in state government, top down, and look at how we can drive efficiency. And when I get on the phone, I want to talk to the executive director. The executive director wants to talk with you or with a member of leadership. There are two members from the Senate, two members from the House. We can go carry that message. And it's just, I think that needs to be our decision-making process in everything we do this year. And to sit here and have to make a decision on this amendment, you know what? I'll make the decision I need to make on it. I'm thinking about it. But at the end of the day, this is going to have an impact on the way that we provide service in every other level of government. And we need to be realistic, and we need to work together this year to address our budget situation.
Certainly. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the second, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can you please lay the bill over?
The bill will be laid over.